May the grace be with you and peace from God, our Father, and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us join together at the beginning of these services in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we wish to thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us on this last day of summer services. We wish to thank you that you have blessed us so abundantly, that your word has been proclaimed with many different gifts, and you have revealed your will to people, that God wishes good towards us. He is a loving God. As John wrote about your son, he was full of grace and truth. There's truth in God's word, and we have heard of this. Now we would ask that you would bless this final day, so even still would feed us, for we are weak. We forget. We forget very easily. And these times that are in many ways very tiring, our strength become very weak. We need and we ask your blessings that one day we would reach the eternal shore. Amen. In the beginning, there have been some prayers asked. God, Heavenly Father, we have come empty, with empty hands and open mind before you. You have promised to hear all of us who cry towards you for help. We know that you also will hear us. Lord, please take these burdens away. May your comfort be with us. Lord, please remember us, and may your seed of faith be sowed. I turn my gaze towards the mountains. Where can I receive help? I receive help from the Lord, He who has created the heavens and the earth. I shall read God's holy word from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 57, beginning from verse 15 to the end, in Jesus' name. For thus saith the high and lofty, one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail me before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest. Those waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Amen. This portion that we read in the first verse that we read is spoken the dwelling place of God, where God lives and where he wishes to live. And I thought that here, that if God so wills, we would concentrate. It said, whose name is holy and high and holy place, and who lives forever. This is here we see eternity. And here it speaks also those that have the humble spirit. Everlasting. Does it not mean that God, if we're looking back, when we think of it temporally, as we are tied to time, that God has always been there? It is perhaps especially to me, it's hard, very hard to understand that someone has been there always. How is this possible? We do not have to understand this. The main thing is that we believe this. But then God is also is forever going forward. And here's an important matter, this, that we as people, we have a part. We can be a part of this everlasting, or we are a part of this everlasting life. And it is important for people to take care of their matters towards God's in this way, so eternity would be a better place. That eternity would be heaven. Bible says very clearly that there are two choices. Here also said I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is contrite and humble spirit. But before this, that in scripture there are such phrases, for instance, especially in Psalms, where it is told what God has said before the beginning of time, before the creation of the world earth. The old speakers have said of the has spoken of this conversation that God had, and the division of work between God and his son. And in Psalms 2, God speaks that I shall place a king upon my holy mountain, and a son whom I shall preach through. According to God's word, that you are my son, today I have given you birth. And in a confession of faith, it's said, and we accept this, that God has given birth, that Christ has been born, not made. And then it continues. And God says that ask of me and I will give you eternity. The Son knew this, that it included that very difficult duty. He knew that a person will fall into sin, that it is my duty to redeem the sins of the sinful people. And the Son accepted this. I remember when we think of the beginning, that in the early 90s, there was in Mohos Easter services, Arvo Perola was there, an older speaker brother. And I asked about this conversation, and Arvo nodded and said, and I continued. In Psalm 40, the Spirit of God says, "Lo, I come in a volume of the book. It is written of me. I have preserved righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, have not referred my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. The love, righteousness of love, or the law of love of Christ, that I wish to save the people from death and sin. And now, when we have been able to, I first said that I preach in a large congregation. We are now. We are gathered here at these large services. And there has much been preached of God's word and explained. But Christ is with through his Spirit. That before the beginning of time, when Christ said, I shall then preach in a large congregation. Maybe back then he looked at you, brother and sister, that there they are listening to my sermon. And put his loving gaze that we wish to dwell as children. And if we look at one more part of scripture in Psalm 16, I remember Luther mentions that the Son speaks of his good work to his Father. And he says, that Father, my great work is not for you, for it is for the holy who are upon earth, upon the earth. Christ told his Father that the redemption work is not for him, but it is for me and you that he made this great work. Do we not have a great God? John writes that God has so loved the world that he gave his own Son so that not one who believes upon him would drown but would receive everlasting life. There, we went a little bit before when we spoke of summer services. But speaking of eternity, we turn from there to this day. The Bible starts in this way. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And during this following week, he created the rest. And on the last day, he created people, and people fell into sin. We could say, as the text here speaks, of a contrite heart, that he wished to be those. He wants to be with those who have contrite and a humble spirit. God came to the sin-fallen people. There was only Adam and Eve. So God himself came as the first time to preach the gospel. But when they received repentance, then there were two. As a certain brother said, that there was the first congregation of God, for there were two. The Holy Spirit came then, even though on Pentecost it was brought down when Jesus left the world or the earth or was removed into the glory of heaven. The Holy Spirit is or has always been, and the prophets preached that spoke about this. The prophets have spoken about this through thousands of years, this precious gospel. And Isaiah, even Isaiah, in Luke 9, that is the Christmas gospel, which speaks of the brightness and says, in the end, for a child has been born unto us, a son has been given, womb on his shoulders is the burden, the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah also looks at this gospel of Easter, the resurrected of Christ, resurrection of Christ. He was wounded because of our sins, because of our bad way, wicked ways. He had this punishment so that we would be saved, and through his wounds we would be cured. Jesus came in his own time here. Matthew speaks that he went through villages and cities and teaching people in their synagogues, preaching the gospel and healing people of all sicknesses. When Jesus left and went to the heavenly home towards the end, after Easter, he goes before his disciples who were behind locked doors and says, peace be unto you. He's blown upon them. Take the Holy Spirit, for whose sins you remit shall be remitted unto them. And he continued when a writer to the book of Hebrews, writer of the book of Hebrews, says that the prophets in many ways, different ways, spoke to the fathers through the prophets. And in these last days, he has spoke through his son. For Jesus and the son sent his own. He sent his own throughout the whole world, and through those who he sent, opens a word unto others. And this power has been given unto God's children, and it is true even today. When Paul writes a book to Corinthians, that all who carries the Spirit of the Lord, they are the children of God. But he who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not a partaker of Christ. It is for sure, and through many people or witnesses in the Bible, that God lives with his own. And he has, and the Holy Spirit has flowed through him, and the speech of a child of God is so powerful. It is able to save a person who lives in sin when we preach the forgiveness of sins, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. Even there, to the first couple, it was preached in this way when a serpent defiled the people. We had the first contrite heart that God wished to mend. If we come to this back to this time, Kyusila spoke of this, of his life, in his book. He was born 150 years ago. He says, even as a child, he rejoiced of the grace. Just like all children are born as God's children into the world, he was free, and he rejoiced over his freedom. And he was very young when he began, was able to read, and he spoke the Bible with a loud voice, just as he heard the priest in church preach. But then different neighbors came, and neighbor boys led him into sin, and his heart was troubled, just like the first people. That sin troubled the heart. And he explains that he became distressed and went to his parents. His parents were righteous, self-righteous. They could not help him. But they said, go to the priest. It is his duty to take care of these matters. And it should be. But even a priest could not preach the gospel, could not help, because he was in unbelief. But the priest said, come the following Sunday to communion, and you can receive your sins forgiven there. And he went there to communion, but it did not help. His troubled heart was not made pure. It did not help at all. And then he kind of gave up, and he went to the other side, into unbelief, and began ridicule and knock down believers and Christianity. But sometime in his youth, he began to build his own self-righteous tower by going to church and in other ways. And in the end, he went to church where there was a young priest who preached about the right forgiveness, and he preached of righteousness, and he understood that his tower of self-righteousness was shoved over. And then he became distressed and went to speak to the priest. And that priest had the gospel. This young priest. And this priest preached the gospel unto him in Jesus' name and blood. And a marvel happened. The troubled heart was fixed. And he was able to receive the peace of God that which he had as a child, he was able to receive it back. Oh, how precious and important it is when I think of it, even in believing homes, who even you who may have many children, that you take care, that you would take care of your children there, of your children with the gospel. The living word is close and near. There are a lot of children in the world who are believing. But when they do not have the gospel, it does not take long for the sin of snake, the snake that carries sin, troubles their hearts, defiles their hearts. And God would wish that we would take care of our children in this way, and so that they could be protected in faith. I have marveled once again when these services have been very wet, how patient everybody has been, especially parents with children. See, summer services are so important for children. This issue was discussed, or the children were talking about this. And a question came, now what is it like in heaven? And one other children, another child answered and said, it'd be like, it's like summer service and Christmas at the same time. That is their viewpoint. And they are close. In our text was spoken. It speaks of they wish to refresh this humble spirit, that I would refresh this humble heart. Here we are speaking of God's children who are tempted and tried. To each one of us, especially those who are older, have experiences of these trials throughout life, how sin attaches and makes the journey slow. The will of God, or the wish of God, is to refresh us. And a prophet says, comfort, comfort my people. Speak and preach from Jerusalem and say, then your battles will be won and your sins are forgiven two times from the hand of God. God wishes his children, wishes to refresh his children. It comes to mind that traveler on the road to Emmaus. Who were in great temptations and doubts, or doubts were very high when Jesus spoke unto them. And they said, we thought of him who came to free Israel. But when Jesus began to speak and explain that this had to happen, and spoke about the Old Testament and the prophets, went through the happenings, and there their hearts were refreshed. This was the gospel unto them, and Jesus left from them, and then they spoke. did not our hearts burn when he spoke and explained the writings? How important, I thought in this way, how important it is in God's kingdom today that we keep this very important, that each sermon is based on the Bible, and remember these places in the Bible. It is not this often repeated, but we need to be reminded and reminded again. And that is why we are told the gospel and explain the text again and again. And we preach the gospel. My brother and sister, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven unto you. In Jesus' name, of precious blood. We need this. The gospel is the power of God. Is the power of God to all who believe upon this. And upon this gospel, we need this. God's word is such, and that we would be preserved on this narrow road based on God's word. It spoke here, in the end, it spoke of but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. The psalm writer also speaks that the water and the waves are strong in the sea, but the Lord is a greater power, and that power is in the gospel. In this way, brother and sister, you who have been tried and tempted, uplift your heart to believe. Your sins are forgiven. When I have spoken of this and spoken to my family and to others, I would also wish to comfort even those who are single. For as speakers, we do not speak very often, speak of those who are single or lonely. I thought of this morning also. And I went through how precious we have brothers and sisters who are alone, that how important it is. They help often our families, and they do precious work in Zion. And also from Zion, we wish to bless them. That God wishes to remember them and love them and their parts. And their work is important for all of us. Often in families have experience, grandpa and grandma. When we speak of grandma and grandpa, it is a joy. It's a joy to go visit our families, our children, and their families. It is not work for us. And probably not even important. But it's important that when we do, no matter what we do, with a good mind, there's that love amongst us that bond us together. That children of God wish to serve in this way, and the spirit is from God and affected by God. Yes, we have flesh and blood. We wish to be individuals and selfish, and we can find this. In this way, travel friends, we can remain believing much good of God, even though we doubt that will we reach a destination. But his power is more powerful. He carries, uplifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I believe my own sins forgiven? I wish to remain believing along with you in this way.